The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
My friend, do you know that the Ten Commandments are a call to holiness of life? I'm Pastor Schulze. Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over the station at this time. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. The last two broadcasts could have been called preparations for the giving of the Ten Commandments. In the 18th chapter of Exodus, we see how God is preparing Moses, the leader, for the reception of the Ten Commandments through his son-in-law, Jethro. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, we see how God prepares the congregation of Israel for the reception of the Ten Commandments. Now, here in the 20th chapter, we have the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, as some scholars call these commandments, or the Decalogue, as others call it. I shall read these Ten Words to you with a brevity with which they are normally put on posters in schools, or by which they are normally written on stone or in stone at our courthouses. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. To many scholars, the giving of these Ten Commandments was the most outstanding event in the whole of the Old Testament. No other giving of any revelation of God in the Old Testament has been accompanied by greater divine manifestations as a giving of these commandments. So let us briefly look at that which accompanied the giving of these Ten Commandments as recorded by Moses in the preceding chapter. And I shall begin with verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and he stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses these words, the Ten Commandments. We're at Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai means the mountain of the bush, because it was at the foot of this mountain that God first revealed himself in fire to Moses in the burning bush. And it is now again that God reveals himself not only to Moses, but to the whole congregation of Israel in fire through the giving of the law. So at first we have smoke covering the whole mountain. Then, as the smoke was ascending, as the smoke of a furnace into the heavens, then we read that the whole mountain began to quake, to shake, and then God descended upon this mountain in fire. And when Moses came up to meet God on the top of this mountain, a trumpet was sounded, and it says, the trumpet waxed louder and louder. Then God began to speak and give the Ten Laws. I do not know, once again, of any divine revelation that was accompanied by such powerful, awesome, fearsome manifestations as the giving of the Ten Commandments. So what God is saying here is, hear, 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 all the people of the earth and all the ages of humankind, and pay attention to what I am requiring of you. So friends, observe, from now on, when I speak to you about law, I speak to you about these Ten Commandments. There are many other laws which were given to the people of Israel, civil laws, ceremonial laws, constitutional laws, criminal laws, human laws, and some of these laws were done away with the coming of Jesus, but these ten laws were never done away with. In fact, Jesus quotes all the Ten Commandments because they are for all of time. And to relate this to you specifically, my dear friends, I want to take you to the 19th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus uses six of these commandments given at Mount Sinai. Here's a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus answered, saying, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right here, my friend, Jesus answers to the question, what must I do to have eternal life? In other words, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord gave this young man six of the Ten Commandments. Don't tell me that Jesus did away with these commandments. Don't tell me they're no longer relevant. They're essential for us to live forever with God because they are called to holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And you cannot live holy by breaking these ten laws. You are a criminal. If you break these laws, you are a criminal and not a Christian. A criminal who kills and steals, who commits adultery and lies. I want you to get rid of this heretical teaching that many Christians hold, quote, "Since we have Christ, we no longer need to keep these ten laws," unquote. My friend, are you really telling me that since you have Christ in you, you no longer have to have just one God, but you can worship other gods as well? Are you telling me since you have Christ within you that you can take the name of God in vain? Are you telling me that since you have Christ in you that you can break the Sabbath? Are you telling me since you have Christ in your life that now you don't have to honor your father and mother anymore? Are you telling me that since you are now a Christian you can kill, you can't commit adultery, you can steal, you can bear false witness, and you can covet your neighbor's goods? Since you are Christian now, can you, my friend, live like a criminal? Dear one, what kind of Christianity are we producing if we have other gods, if we break the Sabbath, if we commit adultery, if we steal, if we bear false witness? Is there such a person who can rightfully say, "I can break all these laws and still go to heaven"? Jesus said to this young man, "If you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments." Of course, we also need the blood of Jesus. We need forgiveness. But after we receive the Lord Jesus into our lives, we must live holy lives. We must stop living like criminals. You cannot possibly live a holy life without keeping the Big Ten. Now then, let's go to the first commandment, which is popularly stated in this fashion, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, if the first commandment is read like I just gave it to you, out of context, it really begs the question, doesn't it? Who is saying here, "Have no other gods before me"? Is it the God of the Buddhists, or the Hindus, or the Muslims? Is it the God of Confucianism, or some other God who says, "No other gods before me, I'm the only one, I don't want any other gods before me"? Who is this God who says, "Have no other gods beside me"? And for the answer to this question, we have to go to the second verse of the 20th chapter of Exodus, which is really the preface to the first commandment. And this is what it says, "I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So in this second verse, God, this God, who says, have no other gods before me, identifies himself clearly as the God of the Hebrews, as the God of the Jews, who brought Israel out of the bondage of the land of Egypt. It is this God of the Hebrews. It is this God who sent his son Jesus into the world. It is this God that Jesus told us to worship and to follow. It is this God who says, have no other gods before me. Oh, no, 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 my friend. Don't get caught up with this popular saying, after all, we all worship the same God. No, 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 no. We don't all worship the same God. We don't all worship the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Bible. If we would all worship the same God, we would all worship like Jesus worshiped his Father. We would all be in church every Sunday to worship the Lord, as it was Jesus' habit to do, to be in a sanctuary on the Sabbath day. And we all would hear the Word of God, the Word from the Bible, and apply it to our lives. If we would all worship the same God who reveals himself here, who delivers his monopoly here, my friend, that's what we all would do. There would not be all these other religions all over the world. So, if, my friend, we would all worship the same God, believe in the same God, we would all become one as the Father and the Son are one. The Bible teaches there's only one true God, and this God is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of the Hebrews who sent his son Jesus Christ into the world, who came to deliver us from our sins. Anyone who reads the Ten Commandments should understand that the first commandment is about the God of the Jews who sent Jesus and who came to save humankind from sin. This is a God who says no other gods. Now, this gets me to the second point about this God who does not want any other gods beside him, and that is that the first characteristic by which this God introduces himself is indeed that he is a Savior, a Deliverer. Let me give this verse to you again. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here God introduces himself as a Deliverer from bondage. And basically, he's saying here, there is no other God who can deliver. I'm the only saving God. We also learn that God here is not just talking, but he has proof that he indeed is a God who's mighty to save to the uttermost. Because he's saying here, I am the one who delivered Israel out of the hand of bondage, out of Egypt. And you recall from my previous sermons how powerfully, miraculously, God did this by taking a slave nation out of one of the mightiest military powers of the world with the most stubborn king that ever lived on the face of the earth by doing all these miracles, the first miracle being that he changed water into blood, the last being that he brought death upon every firstborn of Egypt. And then how God took Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then how God brought water out of the rock and bread from the sky. My friend, I want you to know that this God proved that he is superior, far superior than all the other gods on the face of the earth, and that really all other gods have mouths, but they do not speak. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have hands, but they cannot save. Today we learn that this God is the God of the Jews, that he is mighty to save, and that we are to have no other gods. I am Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until then.